there was this following letter. Dear Abby, I stole a large sum of money from the company I worked for and I was fired. I'll agree to work out a repayment plan for all the money I owe. Although I feel extremely lucky about the outcome, I also feel a great deal of remorse and shame for what I did. This person made a wrong choice and is suffering from its consequences. We make choices every day. There are choices we are proud of. Some we regret, and others we are just not sure whether they were the right ones or not. Have you ever thought of that there is another kind of choice? Choices that are thrown at us, thrown upon us. They could be from the society or someone that is very close to us. Many of you must have heard that this past week, Elizabeth Edwards, wife of former senator and presidential candidate, in an interview said, when she found out that her husband, John Edwards, was having an affair during her bout with breast cancer, she went into the bathroom, cried, screamed, and vomited. Her husband's choices were literally thrown upon her. I feel that some of the mothers and wives among us may also have experienced the pain and frustration of choices our spouses or children may have made and thrown upon us. We know the frustrations, even anger and bitterness that result from them. On this Mother's Day, we want to look at one biblical character, Naomi. Have you ever wondered why a book that begins and ends with Naomi is called the Book of Ruth? There are several themes in this book, but this morning we'll just follow Naomi, the mother and mother-in-law of Ruth. We want to discover together her heart's condition and the change they experienced from the beginning to the end of the book. To properly understand this book, we need to know its setting in the Old Testament. It follows the book of Judges. The last verse in Judges read, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And also listen to the beginning of Ruth. Verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Taking the Old Testament the historical context, it appears that this book, the Book of Ruth, was really an example of how everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Yet in the midst of this, we'll also see God's love, God's lasting love and goodness to his people. In verses 1 and 2, we have these words. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. In these two very simple verses, we learn the following. First, there was a famine in the land of Judah. In the context of the book of Judges, this famine signaled God's punishment for his people's rebellions against him. Secondly, there were several names, and we need to pay attention to some of the names. Melech, which means my God is king, was from Bethlehem. Bethlehem, which literally means the house of bread. Elimelech's wife is Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. They have two sons. And then thirdly, we also learn from verse 1 that Elimelech took his family to sojourn in the land of Moab. Sojourn means to travel, to visit, maybe just to avoid the famine. And of all the places, the land of Moab. The Old Testament students among us know that Moab was a land considered unfriendly to the Jews. But when they first came out of Egypt, the king of Moab hired Balak to curse the Israelites. The women of Moab were considered stumbling blocks for the Israelites as they would seduce them to worship those foreign gods. Then throughout the short history of the Israelites up until now, the Moab or Moabites were constantly fighting and oppressing them. So the irony in these two verses is this. This man who claimed that God, my God, is king, in the time of famine, decided to leave the town, which is called the house of bread, and went to this foreign land, the land of God's enemy. And instead of trusting that God will provide, he went to trust God's enemy. Moreover, in verse 2, we learn that he remained there. Verse 1, we are hinted that he sojourned, that he traveled, he visited. And then, most likely after he traveled there, he liked the place, he got the green card, and he stayed there. The two sons married the women of the land. In this very simple description, the author of the book is actually hinting that these are not really pleasing to God. And then after Elimelech died, and then 10 years later, the two sons also died. Again, we take note in verse 1. We read that a man, he and his wife and his two sons. And now pay attention to verse 5. If we can go back here. Verse 5. So that the woman was left without two sons and her husband. See the contrast in this short passage there? When Naomi left Bethlehem, she had her husband and two sons. Now, without her two sons and her husband, she left full and returned empty, kind of. We are not sure about Naomi's role in the decision to leave Bethlehem, the house of the bread. But one thing we know is that this decision and its subsequent consequences were literally thrown upon her. It was thrown at her face. It must have been terrible and miserable. Have you ever gone through such experiences? It's not really your choice. But because you love and care for your husband, because you feel it is the right thing to submit to him, even though you doubt his wisdom in making this decision or making a choice, such a choice, you reluctantly went along. And now look at the consequences. What did such experience bring to Naomi? How did she deal with those tragedy in her life? After living in the land of Moab for at least over 10 years, we're not sure how long, but we know at least more than 10 years, she decided to return to God's promised land and the city called the House of Bread. Even as you read this, it kind of reminds you of the New Testament story of the prodigal son. After having spent all his money, become empty, he decided to go home, to go back to his father's house. What was Naomi's condition at this time? The three men in her life had died. She had two daughters-in-law. But they were Moabites, Gentiles. Or even worse, they were people of the Jews' enemies going home with two Gentiles. It shouldn't look too good. It's kind of losing face, isn't it? Naomi tried to convince the two daughters-in-law to return to their family of origin, that they are the Moabites, so stay behind. Don't follow me. One of them, Orpah, listened and she went home, but Ruth refused. As Naomi pleaded with her to go home, it only escalated Ruth's loyalty to her. In verse 16-17, Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." We're all familiar with this statement, a very touching statement. And we like this statement so much that it is often used in weddings and in workshops on in-law relationship. We often want to refer to Ruth about her loyalty to Naomi. And sometimes we even will print them out or write them down in the Chinese calligraphy and then frame it in our house. Touching statements. But yet, let's notice what was Ruth's response to this. Verse 18, when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. In the original context word, "she said no more" is very strong and very abrupt. Hearing what Ruth had said, Naomi just shut her mouth. Can you imagine that? If you were there, you probably would say, "Thank you, Ruth. Oh, I'm really touched by your loyalty. I don't deserve this." Right? Thank you. But none of that. The writer of this book simply wrote, Naomi shut her mouth. She said no more. Could this reveal the inner turmoil that Naomi was experiencing? Could it be that she was very bitter with what had happened to her, and she didn't even hear clearly what was spoken? Let's move on. She finally came back to Bethlehem. The townspeople saw two women. They saw Naomi and they saw Ruth. But notice what the woman said. "Is this Naomi? But wait, Ruth was there too. At least they could have asked, who is this young lady that came back with you?" No, there was no mention of Ruth. It was as if she was invisible. How do you like going with your mother-in-law to meet her friends, and then they totally ignore you? Have you been to family gatherings like this? You went to your husband's family, where they talk, but they didn't even hardly see you. It's miserable, isn't it? Almost being that invisible person. Well, that's another story for another time. Now let's look at Naomi again. She said in verse 20 and 21, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dwelt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore." Naomi means pleasant. But now call me Mara, means bitter. The Israelites knew about this place, this name, this Marah. This was the place where the ancestor complained to God about the water was being bitter. It was a rebellious act against God. So the word Marah, on one hand it means bitter, but it also symbolized rebellion towards God. Naomi now blamed God for all that happened to her and her family. It was God that made her life so miserable. And what do we see here? There was no hint of her accepting her or her husband's responsibility on this matter. Yes, she had come home like that prodigal son, but without a broken and repentant spirit over their Moab experience. She had come home as a woman full of bitterness and even resentment towards God. It was all God's fault that had caused all these calamities to fall upon me. Poor me. Don't we sometimes feel this way? We look at our circumstances. Sometimes we see our disobedient children, our uncooperative or even unfaithful spouses. Oh, they break our hearts. In the interview, Elizabeth Edwards said, "When we first got married, there was just one thing I asked John to give me, and that was faithfulness." His unfaithfulness has certainly broken her heart. Some of our hearts may also be broken over choices our spouse or our children made. And as a result of that, we may have turned against God. It's God that brought all this to me. How could he have done something like this to me? Or if God is really loving and kind, how could he have taken my sister or my father or my husband or my son away in such a tragic and untimely manner? How can he be so unreasonable? Yet, please know how chapter 1 ends. Verse 22. "So Naomi returned and drove the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." They came back to the house of bread. When? At the beginning of the barley harvest. Here, the author of this book is again hinting that something else is happening. Yes, all Naomi could see was misfortune. Me, myself, and I. Her bitterness was directed against God. However, the author is hinting that Naomi's perspective was not all that accurate. In her bitterness towards God, she missed something. So now the author is reminding the reader, there's another perspective. They came home at the beginning of the barley harvest. After the return to Bethlehem, Naomi and Ruth had to find a way to sustain themselves. Since this is the harvest time, so Ruth went into the field to pick barley. Here, again, there was no mention of Naomi making an effort to go along. She was just like that the queen, "You go." About Naomi, shouldn't Naomi be also going out to pick some barley and work in the field? We are not really sure the reason. We have some guesses, speculation. Maybe she was she that old at that time? Most likely, maybe not. Could it be that her despair has somehow immobilized her? We can only speculate on this. But then also note how the writer continues in chapter 2, verse 3. "So she," that is Ruth, "set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech." She happened to be in Boaz's field. She happened just by chance. She was at that place. And then notice verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Yeah, another translation it put down as, and also it happened that Boaz came back. And now for the first time, Boaz and Ruth met. It is the beginning of that perfect love story that we are all familiar with. Again, this will be left for another time, maybe another sermon. Because this morning we want to look at Naomi. But wait. In that, what we consider as the divine economy, is there such a thing as coincidence? It happened. The writer knows what he was doing. And yet he used those two words. It happened. And behold, it's just one way of writing to bring out the contrast, the meaning. Humanly speaking, many of our encounters are pure coincidence. Oh, I happened to meet this person in this restaurant. Or like one person said, in my interview with this company, it just happened that there was another church member working there. Just happened? Coincidence? A coincidence from God's perspective. Not really, right? Last year I was at my son's church for the worship. And after the service was over, ran into an old acquaintance. So surprised to see him there. We talked for only about, less than 5 minutes. He mentioned where he's working, and then mentioned that he was divorced. It was such a surprise. And then he wrote down his email address. And after I came home, I said, I need to, reconnect with him. But then I misplaced that email address, couldn't find it. And so I've been thinking, I really should write him something. I couldn't find that email address. And then last week when I was cleaning up my bags, my desk. That's the email address. I was thinking, I'll just put it aside. But then I thought about this passage. It happened. Really? Is it really a coincidence that the email address just came out? You just saw it? Yeah, let's move on. The story continues. After Boaz found out who Ruth was, he treated her generously and made sure that she would bring back an equivalent of almost 6 gallons of barley. It's about 22 liters of barley. It's a lot for one day's work. But Boaz really wanted to treat her well. Ruth came back and then told Naomi what happened. And now let's look at that encounter again. Verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." I lost my place. Okay. The first time in this book, Naomi begins to speak positively about God. You notice that? May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. She mentioned God's kindness, God's love. And also we notice that in the original language, the living, the dead, they were in plurals. Up until now, Naomi was only thinking about herself, me, myself, and I. But now, she's also including Ruth. It's no longer just me. Now there's also Ruth. From here, we begin to see Naomi's bitter heart start to melt. Facing the undeniable experience of God's goodness and grace, contrary to early thoughts, She begins to realize that God has never really stopped showing her His grace and His kindness. Previously, she was so blinded by her despair and bitterness. It was all God's fault. But now it is different. And then the author ends this chapter with these words. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Ruth lived with her mother-in-law. It's obvious, isn't it? Ruth has been with Naomi all this time. Why is it that the author wants to point this out at this juncture here? Could it be his intent was to remind the readers so that we would not, Naomi might have missed the big picture, so that we would not miss that. That God's kindness has really never left Naomi. She was really never alone. But then there is more. Chapter 3 is the continuation of the love story between Ruth and Boaz. But again, we'll leave this to another sermon, another time. In chapter 3, we read about Naomi giving Ruth instruction, what do you do with Boaz? Basically, she told, the instruction was very simple. Go to the Boaz place at night, and then just lie down under his feet. And then Naomi said, Boaz will tell you what to do. So Ruth listened. She went. But then we also notice, as when we read this chapter, she did something that was way beyond Naomi's suggestions. Naomi told her just to lie down there, but then later when Boaz found out, we heard that Ruth was literally requesting that Boaz would marry her. This is almost unheard of in that culture. It's the woman, Ruth, proposing to Boaz. And Boaz responded very positively. Then Ruth went home. And again, she told Naomi everything. But before she went into the details of what happened, let's take a look. What was Naomi's response when she saw Ruth coming home in the morning? How did you fare, my daughter? Basically, it's like, how did it go last night? Ruth? What happened to Ruth? But in the original language, it is actually, who are you, my daughter? Strange, isn't it? Of course Naomi knows who Ruth is. So that's why this question, who are you, the translators find it so difficult to fit into the text. So they bring some interpretation. So they put the words like, how did you fare? How did it go last night? Seeing Ruth that morning, Naomi was really confused. Who was this girl that had been with her all these years? Was she the Gentile that might have become a burden for her? But then the reality really pointed the other way. See, it is through this girl that they have food to eat. And now there's the ongoing relationship with Boaz, a very important person in this book and in their life. Who was Ruth? Who are you? Are you that Gentile girl, daughter-in-law? Or are you the one through whom God was showing His kindness and love to me? A little confused. And now we need to press the fast-forward button. Boaz ended up marrying Ruth. Of course, there's a lot of the truth in this book. And like I said earlier, we just want you to focus on Naomi this morning. Ruth gave birth to a son, and he became the ancestor of King David, and also the ancestor of Jesus Christ. And then the women of the town said to Naomi in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 4, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you who is more to you than seven sons, had given birth to him. From being a bitter person, Naomi is now a blessed woman. This one daughter-in-law means more to Naomi than seven sons, even though she only had two. Naomi was empty when she came back, but now she was full. How? The woman reminded Naomi that the Lord has never left you without a redeemer. The Lord had always been her redeemer. The story brought out the essential truth that God shows up His mercy, His kindness, and His love through people around us. In a very unexpected way, God used Ruth and Boaz to show Naomi His loving kindness. God has never, never left Naomi. This book begins and ends with Naomi, yet it is titled The Book of Ruth. Why? Because this Naomi can be any one of us, individuals with resentment and bitterness towards God because of what has happened to us in our lives. Because of events that happen to us, not because of our choice, but choices others made and that are thrown upon us. It can be any one of us, this Naomi. And yet God wants to show us that He could use Ruth, an alien, a stranger, an unexpected person to show us His loving kindness. Some of us may find ourselves still filled with bitterness and resentment towards God because of what might have happened to us. We complained to God, "Why have you forgotten me? Why have you left me with such a mess? What did I do to deserve all this? How come I still cannot see and feel your grace towards me?" If God is, like a young man said, if God is so loving and kind, why have you taken my sister away? Why have you taken my spouse, my child, my father away? Living in such mindset is miserable, isn't it? But wait, did God really leave you? Take a look at the people around you. Remember the days when individuals would relentlessly pray for you and your family? How about the strangers reaching out to you, offering you rides, cooking meals for you? Then there are those friendships that were forged during those hard times. They are not coincidences. Instead, they were God's means of showing you His love and His kindness. They are the roots in our lives. Shall we pray? Maybe we should all just pause for a moment. And then we want to think of all the Ruths and Boaz in our lives that God has used to remind us, to show us His loving kindness and that He has never left us. As you think of those Ruths and Boaz in your life, shall we just thank God for them? And then may we also ask God to help us to be that Ruth, to be that Boaz, to those people that He has brought into our lives. Or they are not planned, or they are rather unexpected. They may even be strangers. You probably are aware of who those people are. Will you please also use a moment or two just to ask God to help you be the roof, Boaz, in their lives, that they too may see and experience God's loving kindness in a very lively way. Father, thank you for listening to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.